This is Fresh Air. William F. Buckley has one. So do Gloria Steinem, Norman Mailer, and Arthur Miller. F. Scott Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, Gertrude Stein, Dashiell Hammett, Eugene O'Neill, Dorothy Parker, James Baldwin, E.B. White, Annis Nin, even Dale Carnegie had one. What have they all got? FBI files. Files started simply because these writers were saying or doing things that interested the FBI, often things the FBI considered subversive. The first FBI files on writers were opened in 1911, but most of them were opened under J. Edgar Hoover's tenure, which began 6 years later. Through the Freedom of Information Act, my guest Natalie Robbins got access to 148 files on American writers. Those files, along with many interviews, are the basis of her new book, Alien Ink, The FBI's War on Freedom of Expression. She started working on the book by requesting the files of 150 writers from the FBI.
2 weeks later, they wrote me and said that I had to put the date of birth, the date of death, and I had to take out all the living writers I had on the list, because living writers have to request their own file. Eventually, what I did was ask a group of living writers for their FBI file, either to give me ones they had already ordered for their own purposes or to start the process from the beginning and order their file. In any case, I sent my list back to the FBI, and the files started arriving. About a year into my research, when they saw how many files I was requesting, they evidently put two or three people in different desks just on my request alone. In addition, they lowered the fee for me, because it's quite expensive ordering the files and paying for the reproduction of the files.
Gee, that's awfully considerate, don't you think?
Yes, I was very impressed. They reduced the fee by 60%. In, I would guess, almost 80% of the cases, because no one else had requested these files before.
I have to say, I'm surprised to hear about this kind of consideration and cooperation.
Yeah, I would say the cooperation level was almost 100%.
So what was your strategy in deciding which writer's files to request?
My strategy was to ask for just about every person I could think of that would have one, and that's exactly what I did. And I included some that turned out not to have files, though in many cases I am a little suspicious by the answer that they don't have a file. For instance, I was told Jack Kerouac does not have an FBI file, which I really find incredible, since his name is indexed in Allen Ginsberg's file. So it's quite certain that either his file is under another name or for some reason it couldn't be located.
Give us a sense of what the files look like, how they're arranged.
Well, when you receive them, they're either in a small folder clipped together or they're in a huge box, for instance, or in many cases, many boxes. Walter Winchell's file is almost 5,000 pages and covered about six boxes. James Baldwin's file covered one huge box. Anais Nin's file is one page, so it was just one page that came in a letter. Most of them look like interoffice memos from any corporation, only in this case, most on every page, without exception, 1 to 50 words are blacked out. And in certain cases, on certain pages, every single word is blacked out. And in certain cases, the page is not there at all, and they tell you a page is missing and that for security reasons, you can't even look at that page.
You say that the FBI kept separate files for derogatory information about writers and separate files for obscene information, sexual information about writers. What was the purpose of keeping separate files?
Well, that was, I assumed, to blackmail people. For instance, Hoover kept a file called the obscene file, which, you know, any obscene material would go in there. He kept including information particularly about anyone that called him a homosexual. He was incensed by the possibility that the world would think of him this way and collected all the information about that.
So if you wanted to have an FBI file, all you really needed to do was mock or insult J. Edgar Hoover, and you'd have a file.
Yeah, that's a theme throughout the files that, for instance, Herman Wouk and James Gould Cousins, both of them were, you know, very conservative. But in two separate novels, they ridiculed FBI agents. Herman Wouk, in his case, I believe he said that a FBI agent had gone to fat. James Gould Cousins, I think, referred to improperly to some detainment methods used by FBI agents. And in James Gould Cousins' case, Hoover not only wrote to the publisher, but he also wrote to the Book of the Month Club that was reprinting it, demanding an apology, and in addition wrote to the reviewers of the book. And in fact, one reviewer, Irita Van Doren, had a file started as a result of her review of that book.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Natalie Robbins, author of the new book Alien Inc., The FBI's War on Freedom of Expression. We're going to take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Natalie Robbins is my guest, and through the Freedom of Information Act, she has received FBI files on hundreds of writers. She requested the files as research for her new book, Alien Inc., The FBI's War on Freedom of Expression. There are several different periods of FBI investigations into writers that you document in your book. One period starts in the mid-1940s when the FBI started its PR campaign to impress upon Americans the seriousness of the Red Menace. So which writers did the FBI target during that period, the Red Menace period?
In the 40s, there were 34 files started in the 40s. The period where the most files were opened, of course, is the 60s, where 250 were opened.
Sure, and this is the period of the Civil Rights Movement, right. The anti-war movement, and the women's movement.
And in the 30s, the period, there were 64 files opened. But you have to remember that part of the reason that the files got bigger in the 40s is that, and well, it actually began in the mid-30s and then into the 40s, of course, was because of the secret oral instructions that J. Edgar Hoover received from the most liberal president in American history, FDR. In 1934, Hoover received orders from FDR to track Nazis. That was a legitimate executive order. But in 1936, and then again 2 years later in 1938, FDR gave secret oral instructions to Hoover to investigate all subversive activities, including communism, and this became Hoover's ticket to increase his files, increase his power, and to become, as I call him in my book, the great enforcer.
In the 60s, I think Hoover particularly targeted writers who were involved in the civil rights movement, the women's movement, the peace movement. Did he particularly go after black writers?
Yes, he did. Hoover was a racist. And I trace in my book that this really began in 1917 in Jack London's file. There's an item in that file that indicates that the Bureau believed that any action having to do with race relations or equality with black and white had a subversive component. And that's the earliest indication that this was true. It proceeded to 1920 when a paper was written about Negro activities in America, and then in 1925, Langston Hughes' file was opened, and then in 1936, Richard Wright's file was opened, and then I believe in 51, it was James Baldwin, and then in the early 60s, Amiri Baraka. Now, to understand Hoover's rage at the anti-war activists as well as the civil rights workers in the 60s, you have to understand that for Hoover, writers were just another group of aliens to be controlled and rounded up and dismissed. And the writers and activists of the 60s reminded him of what he referred to as the dreaded aliens of America's teen years. And Hoover's very first job in the Bureau was in 1917 to 1918. He was head of the Alien Enemy Bureau. And I believe that's a job title that he never left, that from 1917 to 1971, when he died, he was always head of the Alien Enemy Bureau and saw people he disagreed with, people that had attitudes or looked different in appearance. He thought of them as aliens, and writers were just another group of aliens.
Do you know when the FBI officially stopped keeping files on writers that it considered to be subversive?
The last file on an American writer that's documented in my book is E.L. Doctorow's file, which was begun in 1968. There are no others beyond that date.
Was that official policy to stop opening up files on writers?
68 was a little early for it to be official policy because the guidelines didn't really get started till the early 70s after Hoover's death, and then stringent guidelines were created. And in fact, there's two interesting things about those guidelines. One is that an agent I interviewed for my book and who appears throughout my book, and I refer to him as FBI Agent X, said that the guidelines, whatever they are and however stringent they are, would not stop him from conducting the kind of investigation he wanted to conduct. And you can read into that what you wish. And secondly, in my interview with Director Sessions in the late 80s, he said the FBI is not keeping files on writers because they're writers. And I believe him.
One of the writers who you found out had a file on them was your husband, the New York Times book critic Christopher Lehmannhaupt. Did he know there was a file before you started writing this book?
No. He found out about it when I found the document in someone's file, I don't remember whose it was at the moment, that and saw his name listed with a check mark next to it, which indicates indexing. In his case, I believe it was a document he signed in defense of Eldridge Cleaver.
I think it's only fitting to end this interview with an anecdote about Hoover as a writer. Now, Hoover wrote a book called Masters of Deceit, and I believe it was 1958. And one of the things you found out is the FBI helped make that book a bestseller.
Right. They bought up many copies. They encouraged agents to buy copies. And as a special agent once wrote somewhere, the FBI could make a bestseller out of a calculus textbook.
Well, Natalie Robbins, I thank you very much for sharing some of your research with us.
Thank you for having me on your program.
Natalie Robbins is the author of Alien Inc., The FBI's War on Freedom of Expression. This is Fresh Air.